This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. My friends at the website 538, the website founded by Nate Silver, the statistician who has done very good in his forecasts of electoral politics. And Sam, you might find this interesting that 538, now owned by ESPN, they are out this morning saying the Cubs have a smaller chance of winning than Trump does.
Wait, why would I enjoy that?
No, I thought you would find it interesting.
Oh.
I didn't say you would enjoy it.
Okay.
I thought you would find it interesting.
That is interesting. What are the numbers?
They're rating the Cubs' total chance of winning the series at a measly 15%.
Yikes.
So, yeah.
And but, Trump's got to be in the 40s, right?
They have various election forecast models, and Trump is at 18.9%.
He's only at 18.9?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, of course, those numbers will probably be updated later today reflecting these latest polls, like the ABC News Washington Post tracking poll. But
yeah, how many of those numbers are going to go to the polls?
Yeah, exactly.
Do the calculators vote?
No. I think the calculators are taking a walk on this election.
Yeah, I agree.
No kidding. But hey, you know, I take the odds at 15%. What the heck? Well, Trump has been campaigning heavily, trying to reverse those trends that had shown him down in the polls, and concerns among down-ballot Republicans as well. In North Carolina, Trump told an African-American audience he would never let them down.
Our opponent represents the rigged system and the failed thinking of yesterday. Hillary Clinton's campaign offers only the depressing pessimism that says this is as good as it gets, and it's never going to get better. She's been doing this for 30 years, and for 30 years it's only gotten worse. American politics is caught in a time loop. We keep electing the same people over and over and over.
That's Donald Trump in North Carolina. Meanwhile, Clinton campaigning heavily along with a variety of surrogates. She used Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren to respond to Trump having called Clinton a, quote, nasty woman, unquote, during that last presidential debate.
Get this, Donald. Nasty women are tough. Nasty women are smart. And nasty women vote. And on November 8th, we nasty women are going to march our nasty feet to cast our nasty votes to get you out of our lives forever.
That's Elizabeth Warren campaigning for Hillary Clinton. Well, joining me now on the phone is my good friend Amanda Vinicky. She's the State House correspondent for Illinois Public Radio and WUIS-FM in Springfield, and the unofficial fill-in for me when I on those occasional times when I need to take a breather from all of this. Amanda, thanks so much for getting up with me.
Rick, good morning.
Yes, rare occasions. Well, I will tell you when I got up this morning and was listening to the rainfall and a little bit of thunder, it was one of those where I really didn't want to, especially after the Cubs loss last night. That was kind of
I imagine a lot of people want to sleep in and make that last night go away.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But we got a good Sunday night to look forward to. I'm very confident of that.
There we go.
I wanted to have you on because, one, I know you were at this U.S. Senate debate in Springfield last week featuring Republican, first-term Republican Senator Mark Kirk and Democratic challenger, two-term Congresswoman Tammy Duckworth. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, even yesterday there's still fallout over his remark that questioned her family's heritage and its military legacy to groups that had endorsed Kirk, two groups that Kirk had kind of used to showcase himself as a social moderate on the issues of gay rights as well as gun control, both of those groups yanking their endorsement. And, I mean...
Yeah, the Human Rights Committee and Americans for Responsible Solutions, that's that Gabby Giffords anti-gun pack, both pulling their endorsements.
And, of course, we should say that the Human Rights Campaign had come under fire when they first endorsed Kirk, which I think occurred all the way back in March. And, you know, Tammy Duckworth saying, well, you know, you have these groups that will side with the incumbent as far as endorsements go, and kind of saying that's the politics of that. But now, in light of the yanking of these endorsements, and, of course, Gabby Giffords was the Democratic congresswoman who was severely wounded in an assassination attempt, a Democrat, you have the Kirk campaign responding that yanking these endorsements, well, that's just politics.
Politics of going with who looks like it'll be the winner. So these groups trying to get on Duckworth's good side, perhaps is maybe part of that. But also, I think, I mean, just this backlash was immediate and severe. And I think what was striking in part about it is really how long it took for a true apology to come from Kirk, a, you know, major public one. Wasn't until the next morning on Twitter, and that's the sort of thing that during the actual campaign, you had Kirk's aides coming up to him during commercial breaks, and maybe it would have been a good time right then to say, hey, you know, I was trying to be more aggressive, or whatever he was going to say. I'm not sure that it would have done anything, but that's, I think, part of why we continue to see this. Part of it is that Duckworth, again, is up in the polls already, and I think that really it was just a stunning comment. You've had Kirk really say that he is tried to present himself as somebody who could be appealing to Democrats, and yet that has instead, I think, angered a lot of the Republican conservative base. Democrats aren't looking for anywhere to go. They have somebody in Duckworth they don't need to vote for, and then I think it truly is a lot of people, you know, questioning, hey, is this just that Kirk has lost his filter and perhaps lingering effects of his 2012 stroke, although the Kirk campaign has said that he is full cognitive recovery and has issued a doctor's note to that effect.
And Kirk himself denies that there's no losing of his filter or whatever. But, you know, what I found interesting is that, you know, in that debate, you know, he pointedly noted the fact that he had unendorsed Donald Trump in particular because of Trump's comments about how he questioned the fairness of an Indiana-born federal judge of Mexican heritage that was overseeing the Trump University case. And Kirk said that was the point that he said no. But then he brings up this question of, you know, Tammy Duckworth's heritage as being born in Thailand and how, you know, her relatives from Thailand fought with George Washington.
He was trying to leave behind Trump and present himself as somebody who found that racism very offensive and then made a remark that you have a lot of people calling very offensive and some have also characterized as racist. I thought I'll add kind of an interesting take from actually Mike Pesca, who used to be a public radio reporter, but saying, you know, be careful there in that if Kirk hadn't remembered that, in fact, Duckworth had this family history dating back to the American Revolution, then it wasn't a racist comment. It was just a wrong one. You can't be one or both. I don't know. Something to kind of think about there. I basically saying, quote, in this case, if it's ignorant, it can't be racist. But if it was racist, then that is, of course, ignorant. So point being, I mean, I think that you already had Kirk trailing, and this has sealed the deal. There's, of course, this debate coming up on Friday, but I we'll all be watching and waiting. I've heard some people say, wow, can you even fathom Kirk getting back up there and doing this? He's in it to win it. I do presume that he will get back up on that debate stage, just given that that would be such a big story, and that he's, you know, committed to winning this. But it, to me, I think no matter what, this campaign has really rallied the troops. Immediately after you said it, you had not only all these comments from Democratic operatives, but of course you had it as part of a fundraising campaign by Tammy Duckworth too.
You can never miss an opportunity for fundraising. Never.
Never.
We're speaking with Amanda Vinicky. She's the State House correspondent for Illinois Public Radio and WUIS-FM in Springfield. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. Joining me on the phone is Amanda Vinicky, State House correspondent for Illinois Public Radio and WUIS-FM Springfield. Why do I always have trouble with that, Amanda? I don't
get it. A lot of people do. In fact, we often now go by NPR Illinois.
Okay.
We found this easier. So if you want to make your...
All right. You know what? I will.
Go for that.
I absolutely will. We're talking about the debate last week with U.S. Senator Mark Kirk and Democratic challenger Tammy Duckworth. And what I thought was kind of interesting, you mentioned about the delay of kind of the... Kirk apologizing, but when he did so, he does it in Twitter. I mean, is that, I guess that's our new form of communications?
I do think that that is sort of the way of the world. It's a way to get it out there in public. It's maybe less gauche than a press release or something to that effect. You can have retweets galore. I think part of that, however, if you read some of the comments, on his apology and on Tammy Duckworth herself, I would say that some of the commenters that are upset about Kirk's offensive comment, let's just say that they fully embraced offensive, if you want to go there. But it is a way that it gets attention of the media. It's out there in public, so you don't have any of the going back to the last gubernatorial election when you had Rauner say, well, I called the legislative leaders, and they say, no, he didn't. It's all out there. It's public. So perhaps that's the tactic. And, you know, you also saw Tammy Duckworth respond on Twitter, too. It is definitely... To me, Twitter is kind of one of the changers of this election, obviously, this race. And you look at how Trump has employed that to great effect.
Well, and Tammy Duckworth, as you said, did accept the apology via Twitter, although I found it interesting that she waited about 5 hours to do that.
Exactly. Uh-huh. About 11 a.m. The other one was just, well, I would presume many people were about ready to pack up their offices on a beautiful Friday evening.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps letting
it fester.
So. Yes, exactly. letting it sink in for those who hadn't heard about it. I want to ask you too about, and we're going to talk to Kent Redfield coming up from the University of Illinois at Springfield, but just this influx of money. And I think it was Pat Brady, who the former state Republican chairman, who said that perhaps the most viewed person on television these days in the state of Illinois is House Speaker Michael Madigan.
Michael Madigan, and it's not smiley, happy photos of Madigan in those campaign ads where he's, you know, like out with kids and puppies and sunshine.
Now, I no offense to the speaker, but I don't remember ever seeing a picture with him with a puppy, you know.
I don't either, but that'd be great. And maybe, come on, I'm sure that somebody can somehow work that into a campaign brochure. We could get that happening.
Why not? Everything else is being photoshopped into those things.
Right? Oh, I think my favorite ad was the Madigan morphed into both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, trying to basically bring in anybody that voters have seem not to be very happy with these days and put it all into one bizarre-looking human being. That was maybe my favorite.
I mean, certainly, and Pat Brady tried this when he was chairman, of trying to kind of demonize Madigan.
Mm-hmm.
But with the influx of money from Governor Rauner and his allies, and the fact that virtually every one of the contested campaigns for both the House and the Senate Republicans are linking the Democratic candidate to Madigan, I think you have to wonder if it isn't having some noticeable effect.
You know, I am not privy to their internal polling, but you've got to figure that it's that. I think also, in part, much of this money, of course, is coming from Governor Bruce Rauner, whose distaste for Madigan is, I think, very deep and true. He believes that Madigan is the root of many of Illinois' wrongs. And so in part, you would have campaigns, you know, using anything for the fact that they think will work. And you've seen, I think, on both sides, a lot of stretched claims. But this is one where clearly if they're getting direction from on high, the strategy that Rauner has, although he's backed away from saying the word Madigan right now during the campaign, I'm guessing it'll pop up again in the negative fashion from the governor's mouth. And so maybe that's part of it. I think they figure that if you pound on this message for what has now been several years, Pat Brady got things going with the Fire Madigan campaign, and it was true, but it was also almost jovial. You, I remember, could go on to Cafe Press, and they had all sorts of sayings set up, and there was something quippy and witty that you could get so your dog could wear an anti-Madigan outfit and a Fire Madigan. But it has moved on from that to trying to take this extra step, of course, of not just Madigan, but why that matters if you vote for a Democrat. And there is truth to that, particularly not so much in these ones where you are tying Senate candidates, but by and large, you have had Democratic candidates vote for Speaker Madigan when it is no longer up to the voters, when it becomes your elected representative's time to choose who their leadership will be. So that's one where I guess the Republican Party isn't stretching. How well that'll work, like I said, you got to presume it's going somewhere because they sure aren't letting up.
They aren't letting up, and the money is just unbelievable.
Oh my gosh.
Well, and here in the Chicago area, the race between Republican Representative Mike McAuliffe and Democratic challenger Mary Martwig on the northwest side of Chicago. Remember, this is one of the 118 seats in the Illinois House of Representatives, and the money in that race has now eclipsed the $4 million mark for one single House seat.